include tours of the Vikings locker room as well as the Delta's 360 Club. Please proceed to the south end of the stadium.
It's really mixed emotions because it has been many years of working on this. It's an emotional day because there have been so many sacrifices. I mean, all the way back to the Wolf family. I mean, one thing that's really touched my spirit is to think that Mark and Ziggy and Lenny's parents are Holocaust survivors. And so just to think that where they were and to be able to get to this point in a second generation on a National Football League team. But I hearken back to that first meeting where, you know, Ziggy and everyone talked about that they wanted to keep the Vikings in Minnesota. They wanted to build a world-class franchise. They wanted to build a great stadium. They wanted to build a new headquarters. And they wanted to win a Super Bowl. And they've held strong to that. It was very easy, would have been very easy for them for us to move this franchise when we looked like we weren't going to get a stadium built. But people in our organization have stepped up. Lester Bagley, what he did at the Capitol, and Steve Hoppin and Steve LaCroix and Don Becker with our project lead, and I mean, even Rick and Rob and Coach Zimmer on the football side. So it's been a total team effort. It's been a blessing, and to see all this come to fruition, all these different ideas, the many hours of work and sacrifice, it really makes it rewarding.
One or two things, and obviously you saw everything from the original plan. There are one or two things in this stadium that now you actually see them in the flesh. You know, this is what.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. Pivoting glass doors are really amazing. The Gallahorn is amazing. The Legacy ship is amazing. The thing that really blows me away is how the sunlight works in this building. And it's so open. And like I said earlier, to really to think that 31 months ago, the Metrodome was sitting here, now to see this come to fruition, the way the authority worked together and the HKS and Mortensen, all the jobs we created here, help women, minority, and veteran businesses. I mean, this is really a special day that shows that public-private partnerships do work and they can work.
Speaking of mixed emotions, Kevin, Denny's passing, just what did he mean to you, and what stands out when you think of him?
I mean, when you think of Coach Green, I mean, he was one of the forerunners, standard bearers from an African-American standpoint. I mean, he was there early, won a lot of football games. And the other thing that he did, he not only got in that position as a head coach, he then hired people to give people a lot of opportunities. And as I said, he was the one that gave me a call in April 2004 and said, hey, I think Red McCombs is really interested in selling his football team. And so that was really the impetus. But for that phone call from him that day, I don't know if the Wolf family would own this team. And so that's what led to us to start to put a group together and connect with Alan Landis and David Mandelbaum and Ziggy and Mark and Lenny Wolf, and kind of how all this morphed together. So, you know, may God bless him and bless his soul. He was a good man. He was a hard worker. He was a trailblazer. And he was an iconic figure. And so I just hope Marie and the kids are okay. But it was a sad day.
Kevin, that was obviously a couple of years after he was done coaching here. What had kept him in touch with the team to that point to know that much information about the sale possibility?
I mean, I think one thing you find out about Coach Green, he was on his way being a coach of the Cardinals,
right,
is that he really loved Minnesota. I mean, he really loved the Vikings. And one thing people, you can't forget is that they gave him an opportunity as a black man to be a head coach in the National Football League. So no matter how it ended here, one thing about it, he had great, great positive feelings about Minnesota. And I think one of the reasons why he called me is that he was hopeful, and it all worked out, that I could join a group that would hopefully buy this team and really continue this franchise and become a standard bearer that would look out for it. And I know he would be just absolutely astonished to see this building here today. So he loved the Vikings and bled purple, and this really was near and dear to his heart.
How did you guys know each other at that point?
Just at that point in time, just being around the league,
okay.
Being around. And he was, you speak of something interesting. He was one of those people that looked out to help people, regardless of your color. But he really did look out for us. But for whatever reason, he took a liking to me early on and just kind of stayed in touch with me. I think it was during the whole Corey Stringer, when Corey Stringer passed, and we stayed in touch. But he would call me in just to kind of check on me. So it was a special deal. I actually flew out to San Diego after he made the phone call and sat down with him. And then he spent a half a day with me saying that if you form your group, here's some things that are really important to Minnesota. And he gave me some great advice. He said, make sure that you never talk about or threaten to move that franchise, because it means so much to the people of Minnesota. And so I listened to his words, and as I said, it's a blessing for the Wolves to become owners of this great franchise, and how things come full circle, especially today.
Thanks, everyone. We'll have Mark Wolf up next.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you so much.